And so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio online. Thank you so much for all those who are participating with this conference call online. It's the questions and answers tonight, and I thank BBS for making this possible for us. So this is a simulcast. Every time you hear a ding before we start the call, that is another person joining in. And if somebody just came in, then feel free to say your name and location. We have a bunch of people here already. And we did receive the email from Wynn for tonight's call. And the headline question is, what's a grid healing? I believe I heard somebody jump in through the back door. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Dharmananda, Boulder Creek, California.
Dharmananda, good evening to you, man. How are you doing?
How do you know it's me?
Okay, how are you doing?
Good, man. I'm talking to Dharmananda. This is not Wynn there, is it?
No, this is Wynn.
Amy and Bill.
How doing, Wynn?
Amy and Bill. Yeah. Hey, hi, Amy. Is that Amy who sent the question in for today?
Say that again.
I said... I heard Amy and Bill. Never mind.
Hi, Wynn. Hi, Wynn.
Is that Amy?
That's me.
Did you send a question in today?
Yes, I did, about the earthquake.
Right. In Mission Viejo, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's me.
It's
hi, Wynn.
You should leave tonight, okay?
I should leave tonight?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I'm not. I'm scared.
That is mean. That was really mean.
Hi, Wynn. It's Sedona Jim, not far from you.
Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
Hello, Heist, my friend.
You should leave tonight, too, Jim.
All right,
Diana,
did.
Hello?
You guys know what I'm talking about. See that?
Hey. A question.
Hello?
Hi.
A question?
I just sent you one.
Who is that?
Julianne.
Julianne?
Yes. Julianne.
Julianne.
In San Diego.
Julianne Ray Aldous, right?
Yeah. Dutch, yeah.
Dutch. Julianne, I have a problem with your name. You know that? It sounds like you're elite. Okay.
It sounds like I'm what?
Like you're elite.
I'm elite? Oh. No, I don't. Well, I don't think so.
Your name sounds elite.
Okay.
Like your family was princesses and princes. From the Netherlands.
Oh, no, no.
you're not from the Netherlands, right?
No, not at all.
All right.
Okay. All right. Sorry, Diane. I had to mute your line because of background noise. But
okay.
I'm glad. We did turn off the entry and exit signs. It is 6:01. I haven't seen Terry yet. Wynn, do you know about her whereabouts?
Terry? The first thing to see if she's still in the body. And wait a second.
She was right there. I'll go get her.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Would you get over, Jim? Thanks.
Yeah.
We got something really funny to start off with tonight. It's really funny, okay? Get ready. I now have a new joke writer in the background.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
How are you, sister?
I'm good, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for being here again.
Hey, Wynn, how you doing, buddy?
That sounds like Alan Butler.
Yeah, it's Alan Butler. How you doing?
Hey, Alan. Yeah, I heard Terry Friedman did a good show without me, huh?
He did do a good show.
Yeah. He was nervous about having... Huh?
I've got it up on the archives. This is the last 30-something minutes of yesterday's show.
Okay, is your dad on the line?
My dad and sister are listening, and I just left my dad's house, but they are listening, but I don't know that he... Mm-hmm. He should be on the line.
I think I muted that line because of the background noise.
Is Terry on the line?
Terry Brown is, yes.
Terry, you're a little bit faint. Could you get a
is
little
better?
Louder?
Is that better?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, talk a little bit closer, okay? Try it. Are you using your good headset?
Logitech, yeah.
Hey, Terry, we're supposed to start at 6. It's 3 minutes late. If we were on network radio, would they fire us right now?
Hold on. I'm gonna mute the lines when it's too much of a noise.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right. So, three welcome all those on BBS Radio. Thank you all here for being on the conference call. This is a simulcast. Wynn and Terry are here. Thank you so much, Wynn and Terry, for doing this.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, it's September 3rd, 2014. Wynn and Terry, and this is our call where we answer questions. And if you're listening and you're new, there's an opportunity to send questions in before the call. And I don't get to all, I'll tell you the ground rules. I don't get to all the questions. Ever. But if you keep resubmitting your question, unless I email you that it's inappropriate, it will eventually get my attention and I'll ask it. Okay? So don't be shy about sending it in again. I try to pick the questions that are relevant to the most people. I try to pick the questions that can make a difference in your life the most. And then a lot of times people ask esoteric questions, and we occasionally put those in, especially if I think the answer will help. And I started to say this before we started recording, and Terry... Hello, Terry.
Hold on. I see Terry being muted. Here we go. Okay, Terry.
Yeah, the one. Nobody answered me.
Okay. And our other phone's ringing. So, you know, one of the problems we have here is getting cheap help. We only have volunteers. And... we don't have lots of money to pay people, although I'm going to put out that that's going to change really soon, okay? All you guys think that. And send money. You know, interestingly enough, sometimes people think, well, if I only have a dollar,
it's a smart thing to say.
Will you be quiet? How did you get in there?
Oh, nobody knows.
I want you guys to know that voice you heard there is a beautiful guy, but he's got some really bad habits. And he comes in before the calls, and he kind of trolls and oftentimes offends people. So if you hear that voice before the call, and we haven't muted him, just don't pay it any attention, okay? And I wish he would stop doing that. I like him, but it's like some in his little dark side that won't stop doing it. And I would normally never say that about anyone publicly, except it's been going on for over a year. And it doesn't stop. And some people have stopped coming into the beginning of the calls And if it really becomes a problem, and this may have to happen in the future because we're leaving these calls public, and it's nice to have everyone say hello at the beginning. But, you know, when we get to the next stage of a recognition, so to speak, then it's going to be hard to do that. It's because people will say things they shouldn't say, and whatever. Okay, now getting on to what I was saying, Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. All right. Good.
No wonder nobody could hear me at the beginning. I was muted. Okay.
Oh, what a surprise. You're muted.
Yeah, hey, you said, why are you late? No, I just happened to call Monday night and nobody was there. So that's what happened. Anyway,
yeah.
I'm here now.
So I started to tell people, I started to say that we finally have a script writer that we can afford to help us with jokes. Right, Terry?
Maybe.
I don't know, for as long as he wants to, right? Now,
I'm going to share
with you. I don't expect anything. This is a free will association. He's probably listening right now. But in any case.
No, I don't think he is.
He's not. All right. No one would call him shy, I don't think. But in any case.
No, he's doing his own thing.
Okay. Well, we started a few weeks ago. We put Robin Williams in the light, and then suddenly Terry made a very unusual comment at some point in the call. And
what happened? I went, you know, but one of the things that I do when somebody has died that means a lot to me, or I figure they're high profile, they may be and on the good side, so they might need help. And so I went and I said, well, what happened to you, Robin? Now it's to Robin Williams. And he said, he was being a little bit funny. He said, he was speaking slow. I went into a long journey into the land of Nod, the land of Nog, the land of Nod. It's no fun. Don't try it. That's what he said,
well,
and it's all of a sudden we were friends, and he'd come into the space.
He'd
at a distance and wave or something, you know.
Now,
so it established contact.
I went on the internet. Oh, I'll tell you what happened is after that call, I said, Terry, that doesn't sound like you or the Elohim. I went into a long journey into the land of Nod. Nod. So,
right.
was that, you think that was Robin Williams? And
she
said, yeah. So I said, well, let's talk to him then. So we went into our channeling mode. Now, you know, I don't believe anything. I play the part of the biggest skeptic in the world. And I don't want anyone else to believe it. I always tell people, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe we're talking to the Elohim, maybe we're not. And that way it gives everyone free will to explore it, to consider it. So, we're kind of deciding if we can write a book together. And I'm not sure what it would be, maybe what it's like on the other side. And, we're having conversations, and every once in a while, he just says something that cracks us both up. We just start laughing, which never happens when we channel. And it's not normal channeling mode. And then the Elohim is starting to work with it. And, you know, guys, for years I've been saying, I must be making a mistake. This can't be real. So we're all in on the same mistake if it's a mistake. But I asked him, I said, well, if you're really Robin, give me some kind of information that I wouldn't know, like what's your phone number or what's your manager's name or this, that, or the other thing. And,
or do you have a fence around your house?
Or do you have a fence around your house?
Yes.
And so, Terry, why don't you share what he said?
Well, you know, he said...
if you remember, do you remember, Terry?
Yeah, I remember. When said, you know, like, how come you can't come up with those details? And he said, well, you know, when somebody has Alzheimer's disease, they have a broken brain. Their brain's broken. But he says, I don't have a brain.
So there we go. But he still has a sense of humor.
Right.
He's proving himself by his sense of humor more than whether he has a fence around his house. And you know what? It gives us a clue as to, I'm learning about some things about death and how it feels. And I still have questions, and we'll get into them. But right now, we agreed that we were only going to tell his jokes when they come up. So you guys, when we have a good one, we'll pass it on. And I thought that was really good. I mean...
Right. You said, you know, the other stuff should end up on the cutting room floor.
The other room floor, so yeah. And another thing, I'll just tell you, I think this is okay to share. I mean, this is actually already on the Internet. Somebody else figured this out. But some of you older people might have heard of Will Rogers. Will Rogers was a comedian in the 30s. And he would travel all over the country. He would be laughing. And he also made movies. He was like in 1935... He was one of Hollywood's biggest stars. And there's a lot of indications that Robin Williams was Will Rogers. Go look up YouTube and go look up Will Rogers and look at the way he makes jokes. He's not quite as crude and crass as Robin Williams, but it was 1935, so the world wasn't ready for that yet. But there is definitely a look in his face, the way he tells his jokes, and you'll have fun looking up YouTube and looking up Will Rogers and say, is that Robin Williams? Well, in any case, it's a good way to prove to yourself that reincarnation is real. And let's get started. We got, did I talk about this weekend? Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., one of the best deals we offer is Carla Ruckert's Law of One Made Simple workshop with Wynn. This is session 9, I believe. And Carla and I go over book one of the raw material, and we read it, and we interpret it, and make sure everybody understands. And when you come into it and you sign up, you get access to all the previous workshops. That's like 30 hours of workshops that you can download. You can put on your phone, your cell phone, or MP3, or on your computer. Listen to it when you're driving somewhere. And some of the stuff is truly mind-blowing, okay? And on that note, let's get started here with our questions for today, okay? And Terry's not ready, and I'm not ready, so we're going to start, okay? Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through the solar system, and then through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, and through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and anything not of that nature must leave now. Well, here's another one from Robin. He said, when you said anything of that nature must leave now, I thought they were talking about me. Okay, so passing it on. Go ahead, Terry. Do our source, I shouldn't be so jovial here. Do our sources have anything to say before we start to greet us?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an. This is the 3rd of September, 2014. And we take a moment and we connect with the third density realm and with planet Earth and with the energies. And we see a multiplicity of energies. And do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First of all, Amy in Mission Viejo, Southern California, asked about, now she has the number and everything. 8.7 earthquake in the near future. Now, Amy, I'm going to tell you, we have had ongoing questions about this kind of stuff. And what they say in general is that there will be earthquakes, that California is earthquake prone. They very rarely give a specific prediction. They say that the work we're doing on our Sunday call is making a difference when we it has to do with the consciousness in an area, partially whether how big an earthquake happens and whether it happens in small releases or a big massive thing. And so if they made a prediction, it's almost saying that it's locked in stone, and they won't do that. Except a couple of weeks ago, they happened to say, "Look for a 6-point earthquake in California," and there was one in Napa Valley the next day, which really surprised me. It surprised me that they made a prediction, and I suppose they made the prediction because that was already locked in stone. It was going to happen, and nothing was going to stop it. But anything in the future can be stopped, can be shifted by prayers, by requests. And on that note, let me turn it over to our sources. And let before I do, let me say one thing. You know, on our Sunday call, we have seen things happen on that call that where something shifted. You know, sometimes we don't know when something shifted. Sometimes I really don't want to know. I don't want the responsibility of it. But nonetheless, there have been times when we put something in the light and it shifted right during the call, like a hurricane. So, and it wasn't supposed to. No one could figure out why it happened. I asked them later. They said, "You mean if I didn't put this in the light, it would have hit?" And they said, "Yes." So, don't take our Sunday call for granted. And if you live there in an area that's earthquake prone, for sure, keep coming to our Sunday calls, okay? And get your energy in the mix. Okay, I turn it over to our sources. Thank you.
Thank you. We do see that there is building pressure along the San Andreas and various locked-in places. And we do see that at some point, and we do not say when or where, that there, the likelihood or the probability is of having an 8.2 earthquake. And we work, that being said, that is the probability at this time. And we work almost daily with the energies to relieve pressure, to change plate pressure, to work on, to relieve pressure so that this can be modulated or lessened. In the meantime, listen to your own dreams, your own intuition, and use what you personally see and sense in how you handle the potential of earthquakes where you live. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. This is from Edna in Washington. I believe that I have been experiencing healing work from the Elohim. 2 weeks ago, when I was in desperate need of help, I had an amazing experience. I've been dealing with a lot of stress at work, and it's been affecting me so much that I have been often sick at home. I stayed in bed one day and decided to meditate and ask the Elohim for help. While in deep meditation state, I felt being deeply connected with higher sources. And then I heard the garage door open, but there was no one to open the garage door, which makes me believe the sources were coming in. She interpreted the garage door as the sources coming in. Then once I was in a deeper state of beautiful, lovely paralysis, I did not... paralysis is not the best word there. Just relaxation is what she means. And I did not want to move my body since it was an amazing, beautiful, caring energy coming inside my bedroom. Next, I felt my head being surrounded by a nice, lovely pressure and a massage in my forehead. And it was a beautiful, relaxing pressure. And then I felt my foot and ankles being suspended and felt the pressure around them as well. I enjoyed it while having glimpses of what I believe to be past lives images. I believe the healing work did last for about an hour. Then, at once, I was back into my physical body and opened my eyes and was completely awake out of that state. I felt much better and a nice sensation in my head the rest of the day. The question... Was the Elohim doing it? I mean, maybe we should write that. Was the Elohim helping it? Okay. What was done to my body? Would it happen again if I need or ask for it? I am still dealing with a lot of stress and need help to go through it. Thank you. Love you all. Edna.
Thank you. Love you, too. Working in such manner and opening yourself to the healing energies will bring you into a state of less stress. Our energy is of a very high frequency, and it was not only us, but it was healing angels working with you. And we work as a team to come in and help heal. You have helped immensely yourself. We profoundly appreciate the work that you have done and are doing. And keep asking when you need it, or simply relax and picture our frequency, our energies of love surrounding you. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, interestingly enough, Dave Ferringer in, I think, Pennsylvania, I think so, had same experience as Edna. Not quite, but similar. Here he says, during Monday night's call, I felt a pretty strong connection. Afterwards, I did some meditating. It was not long until a presence came into my sphere. It was really cool, but I'm not sure what to make of it. It will be helpful to know if this was a real event or if it was purely my imagination. Dave Ferringer.
It was a real event, and it is the beginning of your increased extrasensory perception of our frequency touching you and holding you and surrounding you with love. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from Jana in Elk Grove, California. Jana, and her question is, is there anything about my past lives, my past track, that might help me understand who I am and my potentials in this life?
Thank you. The other life, plural, the other life and this life are a summation coming together and the things that you have experienced in other lives affect you this life based upon your orientation in this life, in that you do not pull into this life things that have not been triggered. However, there's one incident in the past that has been triggered, and it is an early American life in which there was an argument. When in this life there is an argument, just step back and let it move on, let it flow around you. Then look to your own self, your own space, and see if there are reactions, thoughts, pictures that come in. Sometimes this can be unsettling, but just let it come in, and if it seems worse for a minute, then let it come in and move through it. You might want to take a hot bath even. But then each time that it's triggered, notice what the triggering was. What were the words that triggered it? What were the emotions that triggered it? And then let the pictures come into your mind and just observe them, flow around them, and let them go on past it may get worse for a time, and then eventually reach a crescendo, and then it can eventually recede like a wave coming and going. That is how to handle incidents of trauma that may be affecting you as you move through your life. The other thing is, you may wish to have a professional help you to spot in the incident and to help you to move through it. These are learning experiences, and you are pointed in the best means for handling those or knowing what it is that is bothering you by watching your own self and your triggers, seeing what your triggers are, and then letting them play like a movie through on the other side of it. Then once it would be totally released, then a block to moving forward to life, this life, will have been removed. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Jenna. Jenna, I think, for your question. And Joni Margo lives in Lake Los Angeles, California. And she asks a question, and then I would like to ask another question, add it to her question. For whatever reason, and it's a strange question, are my family and I safe from crime in our current home? And I would like the answer to the question of, can we, and if we can, tell us how to put energies around our house that make people that would want to do things say, I want to pass on this house. I know that can be done, and so I turn it over to our sources. Thank you.
Where does she live?
She lives in
California?
Lake Los Angeles, California. Let me just see. I'll look at a map, and I'll see where that is. I lived in Los Angeles. How come I don't know where Lake Los Angeles is? Okay. Lake Los Angeles is a census-designated place in Los Angeles County. The population was 12,000 in the 2000 census, up from the past. And I'm looking at a map here. You know what? I wonder if Lake Los Angeles, I wonder if it's that lake that's on the 5 freeway. When you're on, you know, I think it's 9, big lake you pass. Well, here it is. I'm seeing it here. Okay, yeah. Lake Los Angeles. Where is it now? I got the map. Maybe I should pass this on another day when I was more prepared. I think it's north of Los Angeles, I think. And maybe Joni should send her address in. No, I can't find it.
Thank you.
I looked it up.
Thank you. We look in the area. We see a high area of crime in Los Angeles County in different Aries, which at times carries it in through the roads and the highways into other areas of Los Angeles County. We say, use your own discernment, your own sense of what the danger may be and the potential for danger, and use your own extra sensory perception to be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of any pictures that are created by neighbors or that are being projected by passersby there in Los Angeles County are dangers, and use your own perception. See if the feeling gets stronger. Because you have brought it up, there is danger which you are sensing. See if it is directional. What direction does it seem to be coming from? Does it always come from that direction? Is it changing? Is it coming from the highway? Is it coming from a house in the neighborhood? Get very, very sensitive and aware to see, because you are sensing something, and be perceptive and see if you can sense when the danger is not there, it seems gone, everything's fine, or if it's there, what direction is it, and is it a changing direction? We ask you to alert your senses to get more information about what is causing your concern. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and I also finally figured out where Lake Los Angeles is. It's on the way to, it's up the 5 towards Antelope Valley. That's from Lancaster, I think, Palmdale. It's before there. It's like in the way. So it's kind of isolated there. So I have to look at the people around you in the community and your neighbors. Do you know communities can create a protective energy or not a protective energy? And it's a subtle thing, but it goes from one house to the other. And there's an awareness. And somebody comes into that area, then they say, we better leave. You know, we don't feel comfortable here. They're kind of noticed. Like the energy field, I'll describe it. When there's a congruent energy field, congruency, that energies are being shared slightly, it creates a vibe in the space that when somebody has hostile or negative intent, they walk into that vibe and they can't get their energy into the vibe. They have to force it. That doesn't mean they can't force it, but it's harder. And when the energy is all discombobulated, then somebody with a negative intent walks into that kind of energy and they feel anonymous. They feel like no one notices them. They're hiding in the discordant energy, and so they can get away with things. And I'm sure that's not 100% true. I'm sure, you know, But in general, if you can get a more cohesive energy, it causes less crime to be attracted to it. Am I correct
Another thing is to watch for any drug activity in among the neighbors, any cars coming to a house and leaving, any strange potential for drug activities in the neighborhood.
Thank you. We have a question from Jim Agrat. I believe that's Dave's father. Hi, Jim. And the question has to do with a session in which it was noted that Robin was having some issues on the other side related to being able to communicate with the spirit beings. And we don't want to talk about that, about Robin, okay? But I am left wondering then that our personality in this lifetime is left to resolve issues related to this lifetime on the other side. So does that mean that all of our previous life experience issues need to learn that life experience on the other side? Our soul is infinite, and thus our soul would definitely know how to communicate with the beings of light at the soul level. Now, that is a really good question, and I think I understand the question. Maybe I'll phrase it. I hope I get it right so that everyone understands it. Okay, we have all these lifetimes, and we have the idea that we die and then we come back, and in between, we're in there's different places we can be. We can be close to the earth plane. We can be in high heaven realms. We can be part of group souls, and that. It doesn't happen all at once. You can go to one place, and there's probably hell realms up there, realms where you get trapped. And so we have all these lifetimes, and each lifetime is carrying certain incompletions to it. And I think the question is, when you die, then our personality in this lifetime is left to resolve issues related to this lifetime on the other side. So does that mean all of our previous life experience issues need to learn that life's experience on the other side? And is that clear to you guys?
Yes.
Okay.
When someone passes on, they have a choice, and it is that they're conscious and they say, I've got this choice and that choice. They tend to be oriented and have their orientation to move directly into, the tunnel of light and moving into the heaven realm. And when they get to the heaven realm, then they can get debriefed. They can go into a life review and have people working with them, angels working with them, to help them see any issues that happen, that they're hung up on, help them to work through that. Another thing that can happen when somebody dies, particularly if their death is really sudden, like in an accident of some sort, suddenly it is such a big change, so sudden, they tend to move back into the situation where they were and maybe become a ghost or become the person standing at the ghost standing at the corner where the accident was, trying to figure it all out. Then in that case, they might go straight into a rebirth into the next life without going to the heaven realm. And in that case, let's say that they had died suddenly in a plane crash and they had a terrific disintegration of their body suddenly, then In the next life, they may experience blinding headaches, pressure on the head, and they may not go back to the heaven realm. They may stay in the third density, be born again, and then re-experience feelings of the crash of the plane, the pressure on the head, the headache, seeing stars. And they won't know what it is, that the reason that they're experiencing that, unless they get some professional help and some way to move through that incident. And they may end up taking drugs or something to try and eliminate their headaches, when the cause would be the re-experiencing of that crash. So there's all different sorts of things that can happen, and one can carry those unresolved issues into the next life and even on into the next life. It is a good idea to go back to the heaven realm and allow your each person to allow themselves to de-stimulate and to talk to somebody about it, to go into the Akashic Record Library and to read and see what it is that they'd always wanted to know and read about it in the library, or go into the gardens and meditate, or have people specifically in the heaven realm, the angels, work with you to help you de-stimulate by putting you in a sort of a cloud chamber that can just eventually relax you. We hope that helps.
Thank you. Next question here. Wynn, you came in my dreams last night giving me an answer to a question I had. Let's see if you're going to answer it tonight. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm not doing it. If part of me is doing that, great, but I don't remember. Okay, next question here is Robert Butler. You know, before I ask you a question, I wanted to ask a question related, you know, we told this joke from whoever on the other side says they're Robin that keeps coming in, and you know, very interesting what he said about not having a brain and not being able to access details. And, you know, I wondered that. Do you remember things when you leave this realm? And I wanted our sources to make a comment about that, because it relates to Robert Butler's question.
Thank you. When one leaves body, they can have a memory loss based upon the fact that the brain, which anchors a lot of information, is not there, and the individual can try to access this body, access this brain, but it's not there. But in general, the person remembers, and they remember based upon how important it was to them in their life, and working with them in detail can eventually help them to get to the place where they can remember the details.
And are the details stored in the Akashic Records? If you're not familiar with that term, they're supposed to be like an energy field that stores everything that happens on Earth in all your past lifetimes. They're called the Akashic Records. So does the Akashic Records store even the minute details of someone's life?
It does. It restores even the minute detail. When one is attempting to remember, if it was very, very important to them, then they remember. When they move into another life, they may remember when they are very little, a baby. They remember details. But as they refocus on their new environment, the details can get more and more fuzzy. The details they remember tend to be the ones that they were very, very connected with. However, even the minor details are stored in the Akashic Records.
Thank you. And so the question, exact question from Robert Butler, and maybe we asked it here, but let's see. Just a second. Robert Butler, here we go. Are the people who have passed on to the next realm aware of what is happening in this realm as it relates to their loved ones? Do the people in the next realm share a communal consciousness is, I think, what he means. I don't think he means conscience. But do the people in the other realm share a communal consciousness?
It is such like the individual is in this realm as they are in their light body. They retain their personality, their general orientation, their sense of humor, their general looks, even the physical condition of the body, the size, the weight. They tend to maintain that similarly in their light body. And when a person is in the fourth or fifth density, then the communal consciousness is more accessible to them than here. However, in those realms, it tends to be not so broken up, but of a higher nature because of the people, the specific attributes of the people that have moved into that realm.
Thank you. Hey, it's 6:55. I think we're done. We had a couple questions we didn't ask. Remember, that doesn't mean we don't love you. It means that we have a message from Brian, and that's an easy one. Brian in Missouri, and I'm tempted to answer it, but I won't. And a couple of other people. So, Erica, did I ask Erica's question? No, Erica, ask that next week. I think that's really an important question for you, okay? And one thing I wanted to just have a closing thing about is one of the things I have noticed is, and then, you know, it came as a shock to me today, how there's someone who has a big email list, like millions of people, and is extremely well recognized, and I'm not going to say who they are. And I've read his emails, and I said, I really trust this guy. And somebody sent me a post that was totally feeling screwed up. And I said, you know what? There's something wrong here. And I decided the negative was supporting this guy, and they were using him. And they're trying to create opinion leaders. This is what I think. No, this is not from the Elohim. This is me putting pieces together. Opinion leaders that can lead you astray at a moment when things break down. So be very careful about who you give your power up to. I hope that we are conducting these calls in such a way that you're you're not tempted to give up your power, and that we keep a level of trust. And if we ever don't sound like we, okay, we're pretty distinctive. You can feel our personality energies and figure something screwed up and go somewhere else or stay in yourself, because you have to get discernment, most important lesson in this realm. And on that note, I thank our sources. I thank all of you for being here. I thank Terry and Hive and I'll meet you all so we can see you next time. And, you know, that person I was kind of chastising at the beginning, you know, I really want to trust you. I want to trust you. I really feel you. I think these calls are important to you. Please help me to trust you that, that you're not going to destroy someone else's experience that's coming in to this call. Thank you. And I'll unmute everybody now.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn, very much.
Thank you, Wynn and Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you.
Great call.
Thank you for the safe call.
Blessings to everyone.
God bless you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Terry.
God bless you all.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Your conference recording has stopped.